Now this year we're doing a series on John's Gospel. So I'm going to ask Anne if she'd like to come and read to us now. It's John chapter 1, verse 35 to 51.
Jesus' first disciples. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what Jesus had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of God.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the giftings that you've bestowed on heaven. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you that she's willing to give her time, Lord, and her experience in teaching us. So, Lord, we pray for a special extra anointing upon her this morning as she brings your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is only short, so they all heave a sigh of relief. And I've called it Come and See. At Last Choral Society, whenever we have a concert coming up, we're told to go out and talk about it and invite people to come along, because it's thought that word of mouth is better than all the billboards that you might put out. And it's true. When Jesus was looking for his 12 disciples, he didn't need to advertise, because somehow folk were drawn by people's word of mouth and also by his amazing personality. John's Gospel is quite different from Mark, where Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John are called while they're doing their fishing jobs by the lake. In John's Gospel, when the first two disciples, originally disciples of John the Baptist, hear that John's testimony that Jesus is the Lamb of God, they immediately turn and follow after Jesus instead of following John. And John the Baptist doesn't mind. That's what he wanted. One of the two men is called Andrew, and he immediately finds his brother, who happens to be Simon Peter, exclaiming, "We found the Messiah." The next day, it's Jesus himself who invites Philip to join him. Philip is the only disciple to be called directly by Jesus in this narrative. And then it's Philip who invites Nathanael. Nathanael is initially skeptical. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" he asks. But when Nathanael meets Jesus for himself and discovers that Jesus already knows all about him, he too decides he's going to follow Jesus. So at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, according to John's Gospel, we see that people come to Jesus in different ways. Often through the witness of someone else, or directly because they realize just how amazing Jesus is. But the crucial thing is that Jesus always invites people to come and see. He never forces people, anyone to follow him, which is good, isn't it? They become his disciples not because someone else persuades them, but because they see his personality, are drawn by the person they see. So I wondered, how did you come to Jesus in the first place? Was it a sudden flash? Or maybe it was a slow process? Maybe you've been coming to church all your life and you can't name any particular day. That doesn't matter. The important thing is that you belong to Jesus now. In my own case, I suppose there was never a time when I didn't believe, but there came a time, a particular moment when I was only 6 years old, when I felt I had to commit my life to Jesus. I can't remember much about it, except that it was children's church, which used to happen halfway through the service at the church I used to go to when I was a child. I can remember, though, what I can remember is that on the way home, when I went to cross the road, I ran out in front of a car because I was so convinced that Jesus would look after me. Actually, because I was very cautious in those days, the car probably wasn't very near. It was just nearer than it would have been normally when I crossed the road. We're all called to be witnesses to Jesus. Just like John the Baptist and the first disciples in John's Gospel, witnessing to our faith is part of what it means to be church. But like Jesus, our invitation has to be simply to come and see. Even though we may be a bit shy of introducing Jesus into our conversation, just doing a good deed for our neighbor or in our community could encourage others to ask what it is that makes us tick. Then we can tell them, actually, I belong to Jesus, so I'm trying to do things for others as he would do. Knowing Jesus transforms us, or it should change us. Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, the rock. Back in Jesus' time, in Israel anyway, to know someone was to know the person. Whereas today, people choosing baby's name will just choose one that they know or like. So my latest grandchild, born early on Christmas morning, will have a Welsh name pronounced Kellen, being half Welsh and having been born in Cardiff. In Jesus' time, they would have been given a name that would either suit their personality or what they hoped the child would become one day. When Jesus renamed Simon as Peter, the rock, this was because Jesus could see what Simon, Peter, would become. though there is no mention in John's Gospel of Peter being the rock on which he would build the church, just Peter the rock. You may not have your name changed, but are you allowing Jesus to change you so that daily you become more like him? Another thing I noticed in today's passage was the many titles that Jesus was given, making it clear right at the beginning of the gospel exactly who Jesus was. John, the writer, had already told us of Jesus' equality with God. Then, right at the beginning of today's passage, John the Baptist calls him the Lamb of God, repeating what had been said earlier about Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is probably referring to the sacrificial lamb in Exodus chapter 12. You remember where the children of Israel are about to escape from Pharaoh in Egypt, and they have to kill a lamb and eat it. And the blood from the lamb is put on the lintels of the door so that when the angel of death passes over, he will not kill the Israelites, but only kill the Hebrew firstborn. The main reason why Jesus was sent into the world was to take away man's sin as he died on the cross. Jesus was also called Rabbi, which simply means teacher. Andrew says they have found the Messiah. Philip tells Nathanael he's found the one that Moses and the prophets spoke of, and also places Jesus in his human context. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael exclaims, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And at the very end of the passage, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. This probably refers to, came from Daniel chapter 7, where the coming of the Son of Man is described. Someone who will be given dominion and divine authority over all things. So in today's passage, there's absolutely no doubt who Jesus is. He is God come in human form. Jesus makes an interesting comment right at the end of the passage. He says, "You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This must be referring to Genesis chapter 28, where Jacob, on the run from his brother Esau, laid down one night and had a dream, where he sees the angels of God going up and down a ladder which stretches between heaven and earth. In John's Gospel, Jesus is the ladder. He's the bridge that connects earth and heaven. The one who, through his humanity and divinity, connects us with God. Amen.